First Kings, chapter 19. And through the ministry of Elijah, we want to consider in our ongoing study of the life of Elijah the Tishbite, we want to study this evening and consider tonight the call of Elisha, the man who would be Elijah's successor. And as we have said this evening, we consider him to be the ploughman, called to be a preacher man, called of God. After faltering, when, like Abraham, his faith failed him for a while, the Lord had an encouraging word for his servant Elijah. An encouraging word, a comforting word that would help to lift up Elijah. After he had, as it were, fainted by the way, had run away into the wilderness, sat down depressed and discouraged under the juniper tree and wished he was dead, the Lord has a wonderful way of lifting up his servants. Isaiah tells us, speak comfortably unto my servants. And the Lord knows how to speak comfortably unto his afflicted people. For Elijah, it was a word of hope, word of encouragement, a word of comfort, a word that would bring Elijah back into the Lord's way once again. And that's where it all began. But this word, the word of the Lord coming to Elijah, as we said, or began our reading there in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way. So this word that the Lord had for Elijah had to do with his way. Go return unto thy way. Perhaps Elijah thought he never would be given another opportunity to be used by the Lord ever again. But here the Lord makes it clear that for Elijah there was still a work for him to do and there was a way back. You know, the devil would tell you when you fail the Lord, that's it. You'll be of no use and no service to God. That's what the devil will tell us. And tell us that our service is over. But these words indicate to us that that is not the case. For there in verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way. The Lord was saying to Elijah, and encouraging him to get back into the way. The way that he was walking before he fainted by the way. And how encouraged he would have been to know that the Lord had not rejected him nor discarded him. Because of his weakness that he showed in running from Jezebel. You see, believer, the Lord is always ready to lift up his fallen soldiers. He's always ready to heal his wounded soldiers. He's always ready to give them a second chance. And he gave Elijah a second chance. Told him to return and get back into the way, into his way. But not only did the Lord speak to him about his way, he spoke to him about his work. The work the Lord had for him to do may not have been as dramatic or, on the face of it, as dangerous as he had done before, going and facing old Ahab, challenging Ahab and rebuking Ahab. But nevertheless, it was a work for the Lord. And it was a work that the Lord wanted him to do. And that work involved performing three anointings. He was to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. He was to anoint Jehu, who was to be king over Israel. And then he was to anoint Elisha. And he was to anoint Elijah to a position that was greater and higher than the position of Hazael or Jehu. A position that was higher than a king. The position of a king. He was to anoint him to be his successor. He was to be an anointed prophet of God. That's the highest position any man can hold. To hold that position of the servant of the Lord. C.S. Spurgeon one day told his students, if God has called you to be a minister of the gospel, then don't stoop to be a king. Don't stoop to be a king if God has called you to be a minister of the gospel. And Elisha had been called to hold that high and lofty office. The office of being a prophet of the Lord. Finally, another aspect of this encouraging word that Elijah received from the Lord had to do with the worshippers. Not only of his way and the work, but also the worshippers. For the Lord told Elijah, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. What an encouragement that would have been for Elijah. Because that's what had cast him down in the first place. That's what had caused him to, as it were, have one of his fainting fits. And said, I am left. Take my life, Lord. I'm the only one in all of Israel that's left who's jealous for the Lord God. And here's the Lord comes to Elijah with a word and tells him, no, Elijah, you're not the only one. There are 7,000 in Israel who still worship Jehovah. You're not alone. My, it's always good to meet God's people. Sometimes you do feel that you are alone. Sometimes you feel that outside of our own church family, there's nobody out there that believes what we believe and love what we love. And then maybe in Tim Hortons, or maybe in a store somewhere, you come into conversation with an individual, and lo and behold, you've met another person who believes what you believe, who loves the Lord, the same Lord that you love, and you rejoice. I was at the doctor's a few weeks ago for some blood test, and the lady who put the needle in, she saw in my lapel my little badge, Jesus Saves. Oh, she says, you're a Christian. I told her I was. She says, I'm a Christian too. Told me all about herself. And it was encouraging to meet somebody else in this ungodly world. To meet somebody else who was a worshipper of Jehovah. Elijah was told, 7,000 who still worship Jehovah. Elijah, you're not alone. Get back to work. There's a work to be done. And that's what Elijah did. And we read then in verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Notice what he did. The Lord told him he was to anoint Hazael king of Syria. He was to anoint Jehu king of Israel But the first person he went to was Elisha. You see, Elijah knew that it wasn't kings or princes that the nation needed, but prophets of God, men of God, preachers of the word. The anointing of Hazael and Jehu would come by and by. And Elijah went immediately in search for Elisha. He went there first of all. And here we may learn from this man's call to the ministry. This ploughman who was called to be a preacher man. But let us consider first of all the commissioned prophet. Elijah, the commissioned prophet. As we have seen, the Lord still had work for Elijah to do. And among other things, he was commissioned to anoint Elisha. We read that there at the end of verse 16, "And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." Now verse 19, "And he departed thence." I want you to notice that. No sooner had Elijah received the commission, no sooner had he been given the command by the Lord, than he went, he departed thence and found Elisha. There you have his haste. Once he was told what he was to do, we read that he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat. This shows that no sooner was the order given than Elijah acted upon it. So when it comes to carrying out the Lord's commands, there's no room for delay. We cannot dilly-dally. We cannot tarry. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, whatever the Lord commands us to do, we must with haste carry out that command. Why? Because the king's business requires haste. Because it is the Lord's command. When we receive an order from the Lord, we ought to strive to carry it out immediately. Whenever the Lord called his disciples, he said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." There's the call of God. There's the command of the Lord. "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And the very next verse, "And straightway." There's that word, straightway. "They forsook their nets and followed him." Mark 1 verse 18. Straightway. There's their haste. They did not linger, but they went straightway and followed the Lord. And so, like obedient children, we ought to do the Lord's bidding without delay. When your children were younger, there they were in the home with you. You told them to do something, and they fiddled around. They demonstrated a reluctance to do it. You said to them, "Did I not tell you to do something?" And you wanted your children to obey you immediately. We are the children of the Lord. The Lord wants us to obey him immediately, straightway. Whatever the Lord wants us to do. Notice further, his responding so promptly to the Lord's command shows that Elijah was back where he once was with the Lord. Because before his running away to the wilderness, before he left his post, Elijah, you recall, obeyed the Lord implicitly. Every time the word of the Lord came to Elijah, he obeyed immediately. We know that from chapter 17. And verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. You go down the chapter, verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went. And now the word of the Lord comes to him again. And the word of the Lord tells him to go and anoint Elisha. And what do we read? We read then, so he departed thence and found Elisha. He's back in the way again. He's back in business again. He's back where he was before with God. Before, for a while, he didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to die. But now he's back where he was with God. And he heard the word of the Lord. He's up and away. Following the Lord's command. That's a sign that Elijah is back in fellowship with God. When we're in fellowship with God, we're ready to do anything for him. What were we singing there tonight? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's the happiest life of all. To trust and to obey the Lord. You talk about happiness. There it is. That's where it's to be found. Trusting and obeying. Then we'll be happy in Jesus. But then we notice also his helper, his haste. And his helper. Elijah would continue his prophetic ministry. Whenever it says there, or whenever the Lord told Elijah, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Doesn't mean that Elijah was getting the sack there and then. And Elisha was going to take over for him. No, because Elijah's ministry continued another 20 years. Elijah's ministry went on for another 20 years. But here we see that God has already chosen Elijah's successor. So that whenever it came to that time when the Lord would take Elijah home. Elijah wasn't going around saying, oh, I wonder who's going to take over from me. I wonder who's going to continue this ministry. Elijah knew who would continue on in the ministry 20 years before his ministry ended. The Lord had it all planned out. This is not unusual for the one who knows the end from the beginning. Remember Nathanael, the Lord's disciple, saying to his master, whence knowest thou me? Nathanael had never met Jesus of Nazareth. Yet he was amazed that the Lord knew all about him. And he says, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Lord knew all about Nathanael before he called him to be a disciple. had already chosen Nathanael to be his disciple, even before Nathanael knew the Lord. And remember what he said to Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Even before Jeremiah was conceived, God had already chosen Jeremiah, had already ordained Jeremiah to be a prophet unto the nations. You see, God is always preparing his workmen. He will never leave himself without a witness. When Aaron was sent to Mount Hor to die, he was commanded first to array his son Eleazar in the robes of the high priesthood. See? The Lord had already chosen someone to carry on Aaron's work. Before Moses began the ascent of Mount Pisgah, he had charged Joshua in Jehovah's name to take his place. God had already chosen Joshua to take over from Moses. When Moses would die, the work wouldn't come to a dead end. When Aaron would die, his work wouldn't come to a dead end. When Elijah would be taken home to glory, the work of the ministry wouldn't come to a dead end. God had someone to carry on the work. Hallelujah. He never leaves himself without a witness. When David was prevented from building the temple, that was David's burning ambition, to build a temple. Yet the Lord prevented him from doing that because he was a man of war. But he had already prepared Solomon, a man of peace, to do the work that David couldn't do. That's the way it has always been. God's work will always go forward. For the Lord has said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. My ministers may die. My ministers may pass away from the scene of time. But I'll always have someone to take their place. Because I will build my church. My church will be built. You see, the church of Jesus Christ does not depend on any man or any set of men. It rests solely on Jesus Christ. And he chooses his workmen. And he calls his workmen. Ministers are removed, but the ministry of God continues. The work will go on. Notice also his honor. The Lord had informed Elijah of the one who would succeed him. His name was Elisha, son of Shaphat. And Elijah was given the honor of anointing God's chosen prophet. And that's important. It's important to notice that. It is important to notice that Elisha was chosen by God. He wasn't chosen by Elijah. Elijah didn't go out and choose a man and say, oh, I believe you would be the right man to take my place. That has been done in the past, and it has failed miserably. Samuel was ready to choose the wrong man. Whenever he was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint Israel's chosen king, we read in 1 Kings 16 and verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come, that is the sons of Jesse, that he looked on Eliab. He looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. He thought Eliab would make a good king. He looked at his stature, and he thought this man would really look the part of a king. But then the Lord interjected and said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Samuel was about to make a mistake. Choose the wrong man. I have refused him, for the Lord saith not as man saith, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And if it had been left to Elijah's devices, he may have chosen the wrong man. But the man that was to take up the torch, as it were, wear Elijah's mantle, was chosen of God. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it should be. Men that go into the ministry ought to be men who were chosen and called of God. There are far too many men occupying pulpits today who were not chosen or called of God. The choosing has been done on their part. Someone has said, well, I think I'll go into the ministry. I'll choose that as my profession in life. That's not the way it works. God chooses his workmen. God calls his workmen. Jeremiah was told by the Lord about those who were preaching, but they had not been called of God. In Jeremiah 14 and verse 14, and the Lord said unto me, the Lord had a conversation with his servant Jeremiah. The Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. They hadn't been called of God. They hadn't been chosen of God. They hadn't been sent by God. It's always been the case that over the years men have entered into the ministry based on a choice or a decision that they have made. When our young men come before our presbytery, they are interviewed by our presbytery. They're asked to give their testimony, and they stand up before our presbytery and testify of saving grace in their lives. Want to know if they're saved or not. And then they're asked how the Lord had called them into the ministry. And they have to give a convincing testimony of how the Lord called them. Because only men who are called of God may occupy the pulpits of our churches. Paul said of his position in the ministry, he said this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. God chose him. Remember what the Lord told Ananias? He is a chosen vessel unto me. God chose Paul. God called Paul. God separated Paul unto the gospel. That's the qualification of a minister of the gospel. So you have Elijah and his commission. The commissioned prophet. Then you have Elijah and the chosen prophet. Chosen prophet, of course, being Elisha. The Lord revealed to Elisha who would succeed him, verse 16. And Elijah then went in search of the chosen prophet, verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha. The fact that it says he found Elisha indicates to us that he went looking for him, searching for him, searching for God's man. And where did it take him? It took him into the fields of Abel Meholah. And here we have the Lord's chosen prophet, Elisha the farmer. Elisha the farmer. We see that Elisha worked on a farm plowing with a yoke of oxen. Must have been a large farm. Because we see there were 12 yoke of oxen in the field. And Elisha's yoke was the 12th one. Of course the plows that they had then are nothing like what is used today. They were nothing more than large branches out of a tree. And they would plow the ground. And then they would have to come back again. And maybe plow it the third time along the same furrow to get deeper into the ground. And Elisha was the last one. He held that position of responsibility to make sure that the furrows were deep enough. He was the 12th. He worked the 12th yoke of oxen. But what we want to notice here, the important part here, is the fact that when Elijah found Elisha, Elisha was a working man. He was a working man. God didn't choose an idle man or a lazy man. He chose a working man. He was at work when Elijah met him. That's what God does. He's the man that God chooses. Moses was keeping his father-in-law's flocks when God appeared unto him and called him out of the burning bush. Moses was working. Gideon was found by the angel at the threshing floor when he was made the leader of his people against the Midianite oppressors. David was sent for. What was he doing when he was sent for to appear before Samuel? He was sent for when he was following the sheep in the fields of Bethlehem to receive the anointing oil of Samuel's horn. Amos. We've done a study in the book of Amos. Amos was taken from tending a herd in Tekoa. And he was sent to Israel with a message from the Lord. Peter, James, and John were mending their nets. They were working when Christ came upon them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew was sitting, working at the receipt of custom when God said, "Follow me." Lord always calls working men. Remember what the Savior told his disciples later in his ministry. How often have we heard these texts of Scripture spoken on at missionary meetings? The harvest truly is plenteous. Mark the words. But the laborers are few. God's wanting laborers. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Elisha was a laborer, and God called him. God is looking for laborers today. We notice Elisha the farmer. And then we see Elisha the follower. When Elijah placed his mantle upon Elisha, the farmer Elisha knew exactly what it meant. He knew what it meant to have Elijah's mantle placed on his shoulders. He knew that it meant he was been called of God. He knew it meant that he was to be a prophet of the Lord. That he was to be Elijah's successor. Because being called of God, when he received the mantle, notice how Elisha responded. Verse 20. Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He left the oxen. There's Elisha the follower. Just as the first disciples, when the Lord called them, we're told they left their nets and followed him. They left their nets and went after him. Elisha left his oxen. Prior to Elijah coming to him, that was Elisha's employment. Working a yoke of oxen. But he left that employment to follow after God's servant. And really what he was doing, he was following after the Lord. The Lord had chosen him and called him. This shows us surely his willingness to be Elijah's successor and his willingness to serve the Lord. His willingness to be a laborer in the Lord's harvest fields. O believer, let us be as willing also to serve the Lord in his harvest fields. To work for the Lord. Let us follow the Lamb. Follow the Lamb. Whithersoever he goeth. Let's follow the Lamb. Notice also Elisha's farewell. Elisha was ready to go and serve the Lord there and then. Because he left his oxen. But then he says to Elijah, Let me, I pray thee, verse 20, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Now that's not a rebuke from Elijah. That's not what that means. Here is Elisha. He's already left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He ran after him, indicating his willingness. But he wants to go home first, bid farewell to his mother and father. Now, during the Lord's ministry, there were those who said they would follow the Lord. One man said, let me go home and bid farewell to those who were at home. Luke 9, verse 61. And the Lord made it very clear to him that he wasn't to go home. For in Luke 9 and verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now there's a difference. On the face of it seems to be the same. But there's a difference. The difference is that the would-be follower of the Lord Jesus was only wasting time. He said he would be a follower. The Lord said, you put your hand to the plow. But now you're ready to go back. No man that puts his hand to the plow and turns it back is fit for the kingdom of God. He was wasting time, and the Lord knew that. But Elisha wasn't wasting time. He simply had things to attend to because he has already forsaken his oxen. He has already forsaken his former employment. They're working on the farm, and he's ready to follow the Lord, whithersoever he would lead him. Elijah gave him permission to return. But when Elijah said unto the servant Elisha, Elijah said, go back again. He gave him permission to go back. For what have I done to thee? Those words mean, go back. But Elisha, be sure to think about what I have told you. Think about your calling. Don't be sidetracked. Don't delay. You've been given my mantle. God has called you. Go back certainly. But make sure you return quickly. Basically, that's what the words mean. Didn't want him to delay or be slow returning. Notice Elisha's feast. He's returned home to bid his family farewell and kiss his father and his mother. That's reasonable. To attend to those things, God calls you into the work. It's a reasonable thing to do. Bid farewell to mum and dad and the family. And we read in verse 21, here's the feast. And I think this is interesting. For it says, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. gave unto the people, and they did eat. There's the feast. But you notice what that he used for the feast? He used two oxen. Wasn't Elisha plowing with two oxen? I believe it was the two oxen Elisha was plowing with. And it says that he returned back and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. The instruments of the oxen would have been the plows. What was Elisha doing? We could use a phrase that we've heard from time to time. He was burning his bridges behind him. There was no going back to plowing with the oxen because they weren't there. He'd forsaken all. Like the disciples. When the Lord called the disciples in Matthew 4, the words that were used to call the disciples were used to call me into the ministry. But we read there in Matthew 4 and verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left what? They left their nets. Left their nets. Now the fisherman, of course, nets part of his work. He doesn't have nets, he can't fish. Nets were very precious to a fisherman in Bible times. No doubt they still are. And here we find that the disciples left their nets and followed him. Then look at verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee as their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship. So they've left the ship and they've left their nets. And when a fisherman leaves his ship and leaves his nets, he has nothing left. That's his livelihood as a fisherman. He's left the ship and he's left the nets. Follow Christ. And like Elisha, they also burned their bridges behind them. See, that's what it is to serve the Lord. Complete surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Finally, of Elijah and his companion prophet. Elijah and his companion prophet. You notice the words, verse 19. He found Elisha. And we read, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So Elijah passed by Elisha, cast his mantle upon him and kept on walking. He passed by and he kept on walking, and then it tells us that he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and asked permission to return to his father's house and bid his parents farewell. But you'll notice that Elijah didn't stand there waiting for Elisha. Elijah went on. He didn't stand waiting. He just went on about his business. For it says And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people and made it eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah. So Elijah just kept on going. The fact that Elisha went after Elijah is an indication to me and proof that Elisha was ready and willing to forsake all and follow the Lord. When he went to that place where he had spoken with Elijah before and found Elijah not there, Elisha could have said, "Oh, he's left me behind. There's no point in me going. If he doesn't want me with him, then I'll just go home again." Elisha didn't do that. God had called him, and he was going to go. You notice his service, not only his steps. He then arose and went after Elijah, but you have his service. And he went after Elijah and ministered unto him. What did he do? With this I'll close if you turn to 2 Kings 3. In 2 Kings 3 and the 11th verse. 2 Kings 3 verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." That was his service. That's what he had done while he was with Elijah. He simply poured water upon the hands of Elijah. He ministered unto him. Doesn't seem very important, does it? In fact, it seems a very unimportant and menial task. But then that was part of Elisha's training. Reminds us of what we read this morning in Matthew 25. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, listen. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler. I'll lift thee up. I'll make thee ruler over many things." This was part of Elisha's training while he was with Elijah. Ministered on to him. But he was faithful in the few things. Faithful in the little things. And that would prove that this man, Elisha, was truly a man of God. And God would exalt him to that position where he'd be ruled over many things. You see, if we fail in the small things, there's no chance. No chance that God will call us to a greater, higher service. For as we read in Jeremiah, if the footman has wearied us, if the footman just running as footmen, if that has wearied us, how shall we do in the swelling of Jordan when the greater test comes? What an interesting study this is. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray indeed we might have, Lord, been challenged in our own hearts, blessed in our own hearts, as we have considered Elisha. Gracious God, These were two mighty men. And yet men subject to like passions as we are. Help us, Lord, to do our work for Thee as these men did. May we follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we part the one from the other. Abide with us as we travel. Abide with us in our homes tonight. Raise us up tomorrow in Thy will to see another day and to live another day to the glory of Thy name. We thank Thee, Lord, for this Sabbath day. It has been a delight to our souls. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.